Welcome to the Santa Ponsa Community Church, and it is a great privilege to be in the Word together, to be able to just share this time together of something we've never experienced before, we never encouraged before, which was church online, but we are unable to meet together. So therefore, we can meet separately, and yet there's something about it. We have this online church where we are able to interact, so we're able to ask questions, we're able to comment, we're able to greet one another, we're able to meet online with each other, and we're able to be in the teaching. This week, we're adding a little bit more. We are actually adding a song of worship at the beginning and a couple at the end. So, you know, we're learning how to do this, but we are doing this for you. We want to bless you. If you know the Lord, we want to strengthen you. And if you do not know the Lord, we want you to be able to learn about this wonderful person, which is Jesus Christ. There's no one like him. There's no one as wonderful, as great, as kind, as merciful, as eternal as he is. He is unique. And he wants to extend a hand of friendship to you. Remember, he was called the friend of sinners. He didn't come to destroy. He didn't come to condemn. The devil has enough to do with that. He came to save, to seek and save us, to give us abundant life, life more abundant. And be careful. The abundant life is not measured by the circumstances. It's measured by the who we are on the inside. What he makes us, the amazing ability to have of love, of contentment, of grace, of power, of resilience, of the knowing of him, of death doesn't finish our life, but we go on. Just a great blessing of eternal life, knowing the wonderful character of God on top of it all. So may God bless you as you listen this morning.
Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail.
Show your promises. So let's turn in our Bibles to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is right before Zechariah. And then if you go back, you got the Old Testament, you have Malachi. Then if you keep going towards the front, you have Zechariah. Then you have Haggai. Then you have Zephaniah. And next to Zephaniah is Habakkuk. It's a wonderful book of the Bible. It's only three chapters. And I thought there was a lot of things that are relevant, a lot of good lessons for us to learn in this book. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few verses, and then we'll finish as the weeks go on. Again, next week is going to be Easter, so we'll do a different service. And I would like to encourage you guys to tell your friends about it, and to just that we might have a great Mallorca online Easter service. It would be amazing. But let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. And it says, "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds." And, you know, here we have this man called Habakkuk, and you see that he is going through a really difficult time understanding the times that he's living in. He is concerned. He's concerned with Israel. He's concerned with the injustices that are being done. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he finds himself praying and praying and praying, and it seems like no answer is coming. And then eventually the Lord answers him, and we're going to see that there's a lot of surprising things in this book. I think it's very sobering book. I think it's a very encouraging book of the Bible. I would like to encourage you to read through it as the weeks go on, and maybe even do some research, get a commentary or something, or go online and do some research about it. But you know, one of the things as we dive in, it's in a bit of as a bit of an introduction that we need to realize is the Bible. In the Bible, we are never promised that our lives as Christians will be trouble free. On the contrary, the Bible tells us and warns us that we will have difficulties. There's going to be seasons. There's going to be seasons where things are going well. There's going to be seasons where things are more difficult. And in Luke 21, 11, actually, it says, "And Jesus, when he walked on earth, he says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines, and pestilences." Another word for pestilences is epidemics. "There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." In verse 18 and 19, it says, "Not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls." And then in verse 28, it says, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." But notice that Jesus was not shocked by the fact that there was going to be epidemics. He actually said that it would happen. It had happened before he came. It happened while he was on earth. And he says it will happen afterwards. But of course, they will intensify. As time goes on, things will become actually more intense and more frequent. And you know, I mean, I think it will be fair to say that what we are experiencing on the earth today with the coronavirus, it's different than what Jesus might have experienced in around them, or what those before him, or even afterwards. This is quite a big thing. It's a global thing. Because of the travel abilities that we have. This contagious virus is been able to just go all over the world. But you know, this is not something that we should be surprised by. This is something that Jesus said would happen. We cannot seriously look into the Bible and conclude that if we believe, life will be trouble-free for the rest of it. It would be very superficial for us to think of that. And you can read the books of the great heroes of the Bible, and you will see that their heroism is not seen in a trouble-free life, but rather in the way that God led them in their particular difficult circumstances to accomplish His purposes. And this is where we're at. We're in a situation where God is working out His purposes in spite of what's going on, and actually through what is going on. World events bring anxiety to our souls, to our hearts. We get afraid of the present. We become afraid of what might happen to us today, but then we become afraid of the future. Particularly those of us that have an active imagination. An active imagination, an artist, it can be a great blessing when it comes to creating, when it comes to writing, when it comes to painting, when it comes to making movies. A creative imagination can be a great blessing, but a creative imagination can be a great curse when it comes to living in the what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? And what is going to happen to us? What suffering are we going to have to endure? Will we be able to stand it? Will our faith hold? Will we be strong enough? And you know, in the scriptures, we find ourselves with a young man that Paul the Apostle served with. And he was, in many ways, like many of us, he was timid and he was fearful. There's some people that are type A personalities. They're never afraid of anything. But Timothy was not this kind of person. Timothy was a person that seemed to get overwhelmed, and his heart would get overwhelmed with fear. And Paul had to write him. And really, pretty much, I mean, he didn't say it like this, but in a sense, when we let fear drive our lives, it becomes a waste of time. It causes us, in our fearful state, to lose perspective and cease to be fruitful in the moment that we're living in. And we need to be able to preach to ourselves. And Paul would be saying to Timothy, listen, you need to preach to yourself. You need to preach to yourself. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and of a sound mind. Now, that does not mean that we are fearless and we just go out there and cease to listen to the government, because the reality is not about being afraid. The us being confined in the house has nothing to do necessarily for our own personal safety, but as much, although we're included in that, but really of how we as people that might be asymptomatic carriers might spread that to other people. So the confinement is actually to protect others from ourselves. And so we don't want to be overconfident and say, I'm not afraid of anything, I'm going to go out there, because you'll get a ticket. But what it means is that we do not let fear grip us of what's going to happen, the fear of the future. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we are not overconfident on one end, we're reckless. But on the other hand, we're not fearful where we become absolutely paralyzed. And Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. For today's has enough worries. And today has enough going on. And the present events can really shake us to the core. I mean, I've been thinking about this week, and you know, and talking to different people throughout the week. And there's different kinds. You know, some seem to be doing okay financially, but their lives are in a balance. They're in the intensive care unit, or they're sick at home, or, you know, and they don't know exactly what they have, what they don't have, if they're going to make it, and if they're not going to make it. And they will gladly give up their financial situation for the sake of coming through that alive. Others are healthy, but they've been hit financially. I just think of a few people that have restaurants and they can't even open this year. One person said to me, we've done this season, we've counted this season as gone. And you know, some have savings, some have don't have any, and some are just absolutely broke with very little incoming and very big outgoings. And we are shaken to the core. Some are losing loved ones and not even able to go and say goodbye to them and hold their hand or even have a funeral. Some are confined alone. Some, maybe you're listening. Maybe you're in a hospital bed. Maybe you don't know what tomorrow holds and you've been shaken to the core. Some of you are confined alone in the apartment and you have a small studio and then you're tired of talking to God and talking to yourself or even just yourself for that matter. And you know, shaken to the core. And some of us might be confined with an abuser, whether it's an abusive parent or an abusive partner, and the rubbing and the friction in the house has become unbearable and dangerous even, and we've been shaken to the core. And on, but we cannot let the situation have the final say in our life. As Christians, we really have, we have no excuse to remain in that state of fear. Of course, we do to a degree, we are afraid, but we cannot stay there. And the question is, why are we so worried? Why are we so worried? Why are we so anxious? Why are we so overwhelmed about the future? And listen, I'm not expressing this from a point of, why are you so worried? I really went through a moment of great anxiety. Recently, I mean, yes, 2 days ago, I began to feel better. But to be honest, in the house, sometimes I would express that I wasn't feeling well, but I couldn't tell Loretta, or if I did, I forgot. But I mean, there was times where I just felt my lungs were filling up with liquid. And I just felt like, what is going on? And I had moments of fear and I had moments, what if Loretta and I left? What about the kids and what's going to happen? I was already thinking who was going to take care of our kids. And in some ways, I think we're so concerned about our lives that we get anxious or worried because we've become very, very small in our thought of life. In some ways, we made the Bible about ourselves. We made the Bible exclusively about our own personal salvation, about our own personal relationship with God. And of course it is personal. Of course it is my God. It's not just our God. It is my God. And we have our own intimate, personal, beautiful, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. But we need to realize that the things are bigger than that. What is going on in the world is bigger than just me. The Bible is bigger than that, and not just about our own personal comfort, but there's a larger plan. And the entire world and its destiny, and you and I as individuals, are part of it. And to see the larger picture in the world, it is important that we are in the Word, we read the Bible, that you read it for yourself. You know, many times I speak to people, it's like, no, I've never read the Bible, but it's full of errors. Well, how do you know? Or I, you know, the Bible, God is like this. Have you read the Bible? No. Well, how do you know? Well, I watched a National Geographic documentary. Yeah, but did you read the Bible? And then we read the Bible and we have this weird relationship with the Bible that we would never have with any other book on earth. I would never grab a book and just to grab one of these and just go, okay, I'm going to read this book. What is, oh, that's a great paragraph. Now let me read another paragraph. And now, well, let's see. No, we actually grab, and Loretta's very good at this. She likes to read the preface, the foreword, and the table of contents to give her an idea where the book is going, the introduction, and then chapter one. And some people like to cheat and read the last chapter first, which is okay. So you kind of have a sense of where you're going. But man, with the Bible, we are just so erratic. And instead of grabbing the Bible and trying to understand it for ourselves as a whole, sometimes we have our favorite Psalms, and that's okay. But what does the Bible teach in its wholeness? Sometimes we might have favorite verses, and those are okay, and promises are okay. But what does the Bible say as a whole? Some of us might think, oh, I love the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, but why did Jesus say, my God, my God? Why have you forsaken me? Why does it say that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God? Why are these things there? And why the Old Testament? Why Genesis? Why Genesis chapter 3? And to see, why Revelation? To see where it all begins, where it ends, and where we are actually at in the history of the human race. And where are we at in the history of the human race in relationship to God? We realize that in knowing the Bible and the author of the Bible, we see that history has been filled with these type of events and that they have never actually stopped the work of God, the plan of God, of which you and I are a part. We can reduce life to such petty things where there's so much more than just life on earth existing, just working for a living, just eating and drinking and being merry. That when situations like this come and we know the Bible, we realize this is not the end. There is a plan. And in working, and God is working his purposes. And this might just be in our lives at the moment just to teach us a great lesson. But we see the big picture. It's not about existing. God kindly wakes us up to realize, man, it's not just about existing. It's about knowing him, knowing his ways, and needing him. The event we are experiencing shows us that our life is just so fragile. You might be succeeding in business, and suddenly it has gone. You might have been doing okay, and because of this crisis, actually it's exploding. But then your health goes. You might be in a great eternal city and suddenly it is shaken. I mean, I never thought, I can't help but to keep saying this. I never thought New York could be paralyzed. And then you think of Athens and there it is in ruins. And there you see Jerusalem and they're the ruins and you see, the Babylon, or you see Ephesus, and you see these places just that were once they great. And I'm not saying that the New York is done. I'm just saying it just shows our frailty. And these places that were once so strong now just aren't there. And New York is, and Mallorca in Spain has been shown how fragile our lives really are. Liverpool's coach Jurgen Klopp, when speaking about the coronavirus, he and they canceling football in the UK, he actually said, all of a sudden, football isn't so important. We can reduce life and our happiness to eating and drinking, and even whether our football team is winning or losing. Yet the Bible shows us that life is about so much more than just existing. In the book of Habakkuk shows us this. a man greatly troubled by the circumstances, by his own nation, by the state of his own nation. He's troubled by the things going around them. And in the midst of the history of the world, as God's plan is developing, as the people of God live as if there was no God. Here, Habakkuk is just wrestling. Man, it seems like they're living as if there was no God. And he cries out, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me trouble? Why do you show me these things? For plundering and violence are before me, strife and contention arises. And you know what? The people of God were in great, they were living as if there was no God. And this, it is a terrible picture of sin and pain. It was a real problem. It was only, and it was actually, as Habakkuk is expressing this problem of what he's seeing and he's wrestling with God, actually, it was only the beginning. It's as if in January you were thinking, oh man, things are really bad. And then God speaks to you and says, well, just wait a second. And then all of a sudden what we're living comes to be. That is what's happening with Habakkuk. He is complaining about how the state of his people are. And then God says, actually, I'm going to speak to you and it's actually going to get worse. God in essence says to him, I have heard your prayer. Habakkuk becomes overwhelmed. And his prayer is answered. God will deal with the problem, but in a way that Habakkuk never expected. And if you wanted an outline for when you read the book of Habakkuk, which I'm praying that you will do that later, in chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, God tells Habakkuk what he's going to do. In chapter 1, 12 through 2, 1, Habakkuk wrestles with the problem as God reveals it to him and what he's going to do. In chapter 2, God deals graciously with Habakkuk. And in chapter 3, we see Habakkuk's reaction. And Habakkuk wrestles with the situation. God's ways, and you see this in this book, God's ways are often mysterious. And we often wrestle with his inaction. This was the problem with Habakkuk. How long must I pray to you and you just do nothing? God, I can't believe you're doing nothing. I've been crying for 1 month to you. I've been praying to you for 2 months. I've been praying to you for 6 months and you're doing nothing. No thing. And he might seem silent and inactive in the midst of our troubles sometimes. Right now, we might find ourselves in a situation like we're praying and he just seems silent. It seems like nothing's going on. But I tell you this, from biblical experience and from personal life experience and from pastoral experience, God is never inactive. He might not be doing things in your life at the moment how you think he should be doing them. It might not be being done at the speed you think it should be done. But whatever he's doing for our good. Whatever he's doing, no matter how painful it might look, he is doing it to actually bring us into something better with him. God sometimes gives us unexpected answers to our prayers. For a long time, he doesn't answer. And then all of a sudden, you're like, what? I mean, just think about it. Maybe you were praying, oh, God, you know, I wish things were different. I wish that these wrongs were not going on. I wish that these things were not going on. I wish the life was different. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in this crisis, in this unprecedented situation of a global pandemic that has spread at speeds like never before. And God is able to use unusual people, like in this situation, it was going to be an unusual army, the Babylonians. He's able to use unusual situations, and he's able even to use an unusual virus. God can use anything in our life. He can lift his sustenance, his sustaining of the universe, and he can lift his protection one little bit. And we think it unthinkable, but it is actually true. We pray for those around us. We pray for a deeper walk with God. We pray, Lord, we want to know you in a deeper way. And all of a sudden, God takes, you know, and this is funny. Sometimes people think that Christianity is a crutch, but God takes away, kicks off our crutches, kicks off our crutch of finance, our crutch of life and death, and, you know, our crutch of self-sufficiency. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves with him. Are you finding yourself with him? Because at the end of the day, who you are is what you are when you are alone with him. And there's a quote I always love. How do you know that God is all you need until God is all you have? And I have no doubt that we're going to get through this. But the question is, will we have learned lessons from this situation? We can misunderstand God's way. We might think because all is well with our lives that he is pleased with us. And we might think to ourselves, because everything is lost, he must be judging us and hates us. But instead, it could be that in his love, kindness, and faithfulness, he is allowing things in our times to show us our frailty and his great love for us and his great desire in his heart to bless us, forgive us, and reconcile us and befriend us. And this is the one that baffles me the most. The one that baffles me the most is he doesn't just want to forgive us and leave us in a corner. God sent his son. He actually wrote before he ever came how he would die, that he would rise, that it would be done for our sins. And then he came, Jesus came, and he died upon the cross, not just to take our sins upon himself and forgive us and say, stay in the corner forgiven, but actually to adopt us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to bring us near, and to adopt us as his children, to befriend us as his friends. This is the thing that baffles me the most, that he extends a hand of friendship to those that wanted to know nothing of him. And you know what? This situation shows us our frailty, not to condemn us, but to rescue us. Things don't just happen. Things are not a mere accident. In the midst of chaos, God is working out his plan. God is over everything. There is a purpose in history. Read your Bibles. You will always see that. There's worse things that we are living, and God never ceases to work out his purposes, to work out his kingdom. And you can read from Genesis, and you can read to Revelation, and you can see how the whole thing is predestined, how it ends. And here you are in the midst of the middle, dab smack in the middle of God's plan, and he's extending a hand of friendship to you, so that you will be forgiven, so you will be adopted, so you will be his friend, so you will be filled with his spirit, so you will be transformed, so you will have a future. That when everything is ultimately shaken, and it will be shaken, this is just a test drive, when everything is ultimately shaken, that we will be hid and relying on him who will never be shaken. Let's ask ourselves, how is this being used for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? I put something on Instagram and Facebook that I thought C.S. Lewis said, but then I realized I couldn't find anywhere where he had actually said this. I think somebody just put his name on it, but I love it anyway. It says, Satan says, I will cause anxiety, fear, panic. I will shut down businesses, schools, places of worship, and sports events. I will cause economic turmoil. But Jesus said, I will bring together neighbors, restore the family unit. I will bring dinner back to the kitchen table. I will help people slow down their lives and appreciate what really matters. I will teach my children to rely on me and not the world. I will teach my children to trust me and not their money and material resources. And let me ask you something. Are these strange happenings, are these strange circumstances teaching you something? What is there in me? What is there in you that needs to be corrected? Where have I gone wrong? We don't need to doubt the love and the care of God. Think of how much richer we can come out on the other side when this is over, and it will be over. Will you have learned the biggest lesson in the world? Will you have learned the biggest lesson of our frailty? We are dust, but he has mercy, and he's extending a hand of friendship to us. If we are lost, if we just reap from our lifestyle, it'll be because we have not received in this time of frailty the great hand of help and friendship and blessings and riches that God is offering to us in Christ Jesus. Oh, it is the greatest desire of my heart as we go onto the internet. And it's in a way God has used this because we weren't doing it. And God has used this so that we can enter your living room, so that he could penetrate. Maybe you would never step into church, and God has brought church to your living room so that I can tell you that he is there, that he is more real next to you than anything else that you can see, and that he loves you, and that he wants to bless you. And if you would just cry out to him and say, Lord, I didn't know this. I was so self-sufficient, and here I am in this bed, or here I am in this situation, or here I am in all alone. And you will find in him the greatest helper, the greatest blessing, the greatest stability in the universe. May God bless you as you pray sincerely from your heart. Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I don't want life to just be about me. I want to see what you are doing in history and how I can be a part of that. May God bless you richly. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your grace. And we pray, Lord, I pray for those that are right there on the other side of the screen. We're so far away, and yet, Lord, we're so connected because you connect us, Lord, and you are right there next to them, speaking to their hearts, knocking on their hearts. And I pray, Father, that as you knock as a gentleman, that they would open their hearts, Lord, that they would say, Lord, yes, come in, and that you will dwell in them, and they will dwell in you, and that their lives will be different from this situation forevermore. Oh Lord, as we look through this book and we realize that you are the everlasting one, help us to be strengthened in the midst of this situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
To worship thee.
my spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver.
Again, your promise.
is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. So
So I pray that the time that we spend thinking about Habakkuk and our own situation in life, and I pray, my prayer is that it's been a blessing to you. We are praying for Mallorca. We are praying for you who live here in Mallorca, and are going through this time of uncertainty, and we just want you to know that if you need anything, if you need someone to talk to, please email us, contact us through Facebook, contact us through our email, and we'll get in touch with you and as soon as possible. And if you have any prayer requests, please feel free to send them. You'll see prayer beneath on the screen, and then you're able to send your prayer request to us. But we are praying for two things. Number one, that you will know the Lord, that you will get to know Him who loves you more than anyone. I there's something that I keep writing to people recently is love you, but Jesus loves you infinitely more. And number two, we pray for God's provision in your life, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, whether it's wisdom that you need and how to navigate this situation. We want you to know that we are praying for you. So may God bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May He give you peace. And you know what? He said He will. He will bless you. So, God bless you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around.
Yeah.